Put our hands together and applaud our pastor as he comes and takes his wonderful liberty. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's give that to the Lord right now. Would you do it? Hallelujah. I know we've been worshiping. Can you do it again? Oh, Lord, we praise you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You love the Lord today? Amen. Hallelujah. I am so blessed and honored to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Worship service is kind of like going to the gym. It's up and down, but that's all right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've never been to a party that didn't wear me out. Hallelujah. Now, if I don't leave the house of God without being worn out, I feel like I didn't do it right. Praise the Lord. But I give my body to Him a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. If that means wearing myself out in worship and praise, I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is wonderful, again, to have each and every one of you with us. God bless you. If you'd like to head in your Bibles to John chapter 19, and we will just have you remain standing for just a few minutes as we go to the Word of the Lord. Please keep in mind the changes in our weekly schedule. We will have one more prayer meeting Monday night, and that is because we want to make sure we don't miss anybody. Hallelujah. And we want to give people time to learn the new schedule. So you're more than welcome to join us tomorrow night at 7 for prayer. And then we have already started our Wednesday night new structure, which is 6:30 fellowship. I just really want to encourage you, if you can, to come at 6:30. I know that can be difficult for some people, but if you're able to, it's just a wonderful time, and it's so good, and it's so important. The Bible says that the first church were marked by fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. It was their fellowship, as well as other things, that led to the daily revival. Hallelujah. So we want to encourage you, 6:30 fellowship. We have officially budgeted now to have some good snacks, maybe some fruit for the healthy ones, and then some cookies or brownies or something for everybody else like me. Hallelujah. And we would love for you to join us again, 6:30 fellowship. Around 7:15, 7 to 7:15, we will start the lesson. Depends on if I feel like it's going to be a long lesson or not. So mostly we'll start at 7. 7 or 7:15, we'll start the lesson. That way we get teaching. Everybody say teaching. Teaching is so essential for your growth in your walk with God. It is so essential that you grow. And the way to do that is by getting rooted and grounded in Scripture. Hallelujah. On Sundays, we try to present the Word of God. I do the best I can to present to you a full idea. But it's often more evangelical than it is teaching. It's more meant to reach the lost or to encourage somebody who might need encouragement. That's the focus on Sundays. It's not always meant to dig in to help you to grow. Wednesday nights, we want to provide that, though, so we encourage you to come 7 for teaching. And then 8 o'clock is prayer. Everybody say prayer. Prayer, we're going to move from the fellowship hall. That's where we do the teaching. And we will move in here for an hour of prayer. I'm just kidding. It doesn't always last an hour, but we will pray for as long as you're able to. There's no time limit on it. I believe we stayed last Wednesday around 30 to 45 minutes. Some people did. Some people only made it 10, 15 minutes, and then they had to go. It's understandable. It's late. But the reason we're making this change is because, again, we want to emphasize church night. Everybody say church night. This is the night where we fellowship, we get teaching, and we get corporate prayer. We join together in one mind and one accord, and we pray for the things that we need to pray for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I felt unity in our prayers Wednesday night, and I believe that it is blessed of God. We want to encourage you. It's just one night. Everybody say one night. We're not filling up your whole week. We got extra things that we do throughout the week every now and then, but we're not filling up your whole week. It's just one night where you can come and get all of those things that you're lacking. Look, I want a good spiritual diet. And that's what we're trying to provide, is that you can get all your veggies, all your fruit, all your meats, praise the Lord. And listen, there will be desserts, I rest assured, be rest assured. There will be desserts, but we want you to be able to get everything you need, your spiritual body needs, that you can continue to grow. All right, let's go to the Word of God, John chapter 19. I want to say it's wonderful to have Naomi Williams with us. God bless you. Yes, praise the Lord. We're so thankful that you've joined us today and pray that God bless you. I see on your card you're from Pastor Kyle's church. My wife grew up in Pastor Kyle's church, and so she was best friends with Hannah Kyle most of her life, and then I snatched her out of there, took her to my father's church, and we got married, and about a year later, God brought us here to do the start of church. Hallelujah. We were still newlyweds, and we had no idea what we were getting into, but the Lord bless us. So it's wonderful to have you here. God bless you. Yes. It's wonderful to have you that were here with us last week as well. God bless you. Pray that you would continue to be blessed. You know, we say something here. The first time you come, you're a guest. Second time you come, you're just part of the family. We hope that you make yourself feel at home here and take your liberty around here, and God bless you. John chapter 19 and verse 31. It says, John 19:31, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation for the Sabbath day, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. There were some things that they needed to do to prepare for it. For that Sabbath day was an high day. So besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, the legs of the men who were hanging upon the cross. That their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with Jesus. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear did pierce his side. And forthwith came forth out blood, everybody say blood, and water, everybody say water. And he that saw it bear record, talking about himself, John, I saw it, I bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. There's a very specific and important reason that I'm saying this. This is an important detail about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that cannot be overlooked, is what he's saying. For these things were done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Hallelujah. I know we say this often, but I did feel specifically today that there is healing in this house. Physical healing, mental healing, spiritual healing. Hallelujah, that the Lord is wanting to restore. I said it earlier in our pre-service meeting that this is the place right here where heaven meets earth. This is the place right here where there is a merging together. Hallelujah. And if the Lord is able to do it, then I prophesy to you, He will do it in this house today in Jesus' name. In faith, won't you say in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. It shall be done. I would like to preach to you on the river from His side. Hallelujah, the river from His side. How about we say a word of prayer? Let's pray for liberty in this house, Lord. We pray for liberty. We pray for strength. We pray for freedom. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would pour out the Holy Ghost in this house. And that if there be anyone who have not received Your Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that You would overflow within them, Lord God, that it would be evident not because of me or them or anything else, but that, Lord, You poured out Your Spirit upon them, even as I preach, as You did Cornelius's household. Let the Spirit of the Lord fall upon every man, woman, and child in this house in Jesus' name. We claim it, Lord God. We declare it in Jesus' name. Thy will be done in this house. Thy will be done. Would you clap your hands and thank the Lord for what He's about to do? God bless you. You may be seated. I've got a bit of a confession to make today. I'm standing up here and I am in quite a bit of pain. Yesterday, I woke up a little early. There were some household chores and things that needed to be done. We have some lights in our kitchen that needed to be fixed. So in order to fix it, we had to go up into the attic and crawl around. I chose it as an opportunity to take my son along and William and show him his first time up in the attic and help him to guide his way through the attic and walking where he needed to walk, only on the wood and things like that, and guided him through. And I had to lay down, not a large attic, and in order to get to the lights, I had to go where it got even smaller. I had to lay down on a piece of wood so that I could fix the lights and work on the electrical. My son was so excited. He said, "Man, I just feel like a man," he says. I said, "That's wonderful, because I am sweating like crazy and I don't feel like this is great." So I was there and I was fixing the lights. I had to move over to the side to fix another light. And as I was laying there, all of a sudden, something gave in and gave out, I guess, on my side. It was excruciating pain. And I'll be honest, if my son hadn't just said what he said, I probably would have cried a bit. But in order to not spoil my son's masculinity moment, I decided to suck in the tears, but man, it was so painful. It was closest, I would say, to the greatest pain I'd ever felt. And it has continued. So I looked it up. I didn't go to the doctor, anything like that, but looked it up. I don't think I cracked a rib. What I best can determine, possibly, is slipping rib syndrome. Anybody ever felt that, experienced that? Thank God for you. Praise, I rejoice that you have not felt it. It's where ribs 8, 9, and 10 become hypermobile, and they slip out of place. And it takes 3 to 4 weeks for them to get back together and to heal up. And, you know, I'm not saying that today because I want pity. Not by any means. Maybe if I'm a little less excited during my sermon, you'll know it's because I'm also wincing in pain. Praise God. But I say all of that, again, not for pity's sake, but to say the rest of the day yesterday, I'm walking around like this, trying to hold myself together. For a little while there, it seemed like every breath brought pain. But I will tell you, like a man, I did finish the lights, and they are working. Yes, you can rejoice in the Lord for that. Hallelujah. And guess what? I don't have to go back into the attic. Well, praise the Lord. I was holding my rib, and every now and then, as I was doing it, God just kept bringing to my mind this story about Jesus. And look, I know some people, you might say this is coincidence. You might say it just happens that way. But it doesn't happen that way for me. When God does something and then he continues to lead me to that thing, I realize that there is a point to it. So trust me, I've paid the price for this sermon today. Hallelujah. I've paid the price and I continue to do so. But I say that because the Lord kept bringing this thought to my mind, and I just kept thinking, oh God, is this how it would have felt? Hallelujah. That pain in my side. I'm by no means comparing myself to Christ. We know that when he received this piercing in his side, that he had already been dead. If you understand and know the story, I'll break it down a little bit to avoid those being crucified, remaining on the cross during the Sabbath day. It was a tradition. It was common for them to go and break the legs of those who are on the cross. I know this is graphic today, perhaps a little bit cringeworthy, but listen, when it comes to the cross, I think it should make us a little uncomfortable, right? When they would to break the legs of those who are hung on the cross, it would remove their ability to lift themselves up. As you can imagine, the gravity is pulling their body down continually. Their oxygen in their lungs, their oxygen is reduced. Their lungs are being placed with pressure, and the only way to get a breath, the only way for relief, that they would have to lift their body up by their legs so that they could take a breath. But when their legs got too weak, they would then fall back down. These men would literally suffocate to death on the cross, because they could not breathe as gravity is pulling their body down. However brutal this scene of the crucifixion was, Christ was not just another thief. He was not just another murderer. Hallelujah. He wasn't just another man on a cross. Hallelujah, and it may have been tradition for them to break their legs, but our God was hanging there as the lamb that would be slain. He was on that cross as the Passover sacrifice. He was on that cross, the perfect and spotless lamb. And although he had to be slain, he was not to be broken. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, the reason is because if a lamb would have a broken bone, it would not have been acceptable for sacrifice. Seems like such a large gesture just to settle a point, just to be symbolic. Oh, but I'm here to tell you that tradition could not wreck his purpose on the cross, and the brutality of the soldier could not hinder prophecy. Thus, Christ's death was hastened. He finished the work quickly, all so that the word would be fulfilled. Psalms 34 and 20, it says, he keepeth all of his bones, not one. Everybody say, not one. Not one of them is broken. Oh, Jesus. Oh, let me just tell you, this isn't in my notes, but I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Listen, nobody can break anything in you that the Lord doesn't want them to. Oh, no one can break in you what the Lord doesn't want them to. The devil's got no power over your body unless it's released by God. If you're sitting in this place and you are blood bought, spirit sanctified, then you've got the hand of protection of God. Nothing can break your bones. Nothing can cut you. Nothing can take you out unless it's released by God. Oh, hallelujah. For no bone was broken upon the body of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I wish I had some in-depth knowledge for you. I wish I had something that I could present to give you a definite reason why those bones couldn't have been broken. Besides the fact that the Old Testament, the bones could not have been broken. And Jesus, although he needed to serve this horrible, brutal death, he needed also to fulfill Scripture. He balanced it between what the necessity of Scripture and the necessity of his death and burial. He will not put more on you than you can bear. Hear me today. He will not put more on you than you can bear, for he has made a way of escape by the name of Jesus Christ. He is the exit ramp. He is the way around it, and he will provide healing and nourishment and protection upon you. If you believe that, would you clap your hands and thank the Lord? But then came an act that there is no basis for, no tradition for. An act that, to my knowledge, was not likely. It wasn't a familiar thing. A soldier, likely out of his own eagerness. Maybe he just wanted to get home for dinner. He violently took his spear and thrust it into the side of Christ. It's perhaps the only concern he had was just to test, to see if he was really dead, or if he was just faking it. But I can tell you, out of this violent act, still Scripture was fulfilled. And out of this violent act, that it doesn't seem to be any tradition for, just the eagerness of a soldier, it fulfilled scriptural prophecy. Zechariah chapter 12 And verse 10, it says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. By doing this violent act, his eagerness, he simply fulfilled Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah that he would be pierced in his side. And that piercing in his side would become an eternal sign and marker upon the body of Christ. For we know that even doubting Thomas would say, unless I'm able to put my finger into the holes in his hands and thrust my hand into the piercing of his side, I will not believe in him. Oh, but when Jesus did appear, you better believe he carried the markers of his crucifixion. He still had the marks in his hand. And yes, he still had the marks in his side, bearing an eternal mark that would be there for the rest of eternity. The Bible even tells us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. They will recognize the holes in his hands and the piercing in his side. Oh, there is nothing by mistake with the Lord. There is nothing he doesn't know or isn't involved in. He is good. Everybody say, he is good. This seemingly violent random act by a soldier would provide a scriptural symbol for the church today. And I would like to be careful here, because last night in prayer I was holding my side. I said, God, you keep bringing this story to my mind. Is this what you want me to preach on? I felt confirmation. But I also said, God, but I don't know what it means. I don't know what the water and the blood means. I don't know what it represents. Can I tell you that most things in Scripture serve a literal purpose? Your word of God is not just symbolic. It's not meant just to be poetry. It does serve a literal purpose, but the majority of what you read also often carries symbolism or prophetic meaning. For John, he felt it so necessary to record not just that Jesus was pierced in the side, but that from the piercing flowed water and blood. The Bible communicates it in this way, that it would gush from the womb. Now, there's been some who have tried to explain the water and the blood. Some have said it's a phenomenon caused by the trauma of the crucifixion, that perhaps the crucifixion would have caused extreme cardiovascular stress, which may cause watery fluid to build up in the membrane around the lungs. It would also build up around the sac surrounding the heart. That would be the reason why when he was pierced, both blood and water would come out. However, there's many who have said that those claims cannot be fully validated. That there is no way to determine if that is true or not. So then the question becomes, why did he have water flowing from his side? Now we know blood would be the natural physical response. Blood flowing would make sense. We could stand here and we could sing those songs, for it flows to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley, for it's the blood that gives us strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. You believe that today? I'm so thankful for the blood. I'm so thankful for the blood. For had it not been for the blood, I could not be sanctified. For had it not been for the blood, I could not have my sins washed away. If it had not been for the blood, I could not be washed white as snow, or taken on a new dress and a robe, white robe in Christ. If it had not been, oh, anybody thankful for the blood today? For Revelations 1 and 5 says that he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. He shed his blood for the washing of my sins. Hebrews 9 and 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh, I'm thankful for the blood. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That blood represents redemption and mercy and grace. I'm here to tell you, the blood still flows. And today, if you need redemption, the blood still flows. And you need forgiveness, the blood still flows. Hallelujah, it is a river gushing out of the side of Christ. The blood still flows. The blood still flows. John emphasized this, and he recognized, he said, I know this is outrageous. For it is outrageous that there would be water and blood coming from the side. So as if he knew this would come up for debate, as if he knew some would question it, he emphasized it again and again. And he said, look, this was personal knowledge. It was not passed down. It isn't a secondhand witness. I saw it myself. There was blood. Everybody say blood. And there was water. Everybody say water. I saw it myself when they pierced him. Out of his side flowed blood and water. I prayed and asked the Lord, oh God, what is the significance? And he showed me, I believe this is from the Lord. He says, well, didn't I say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water? Didn't I say, out of your belly I would cause a river to flow, which represents my spirit and anointing? Oh, I'm here to tell you, out of his side didn't just flow redeeming blood, but also flowed the river of living water unto all who would call on the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody thank the Lord today. Out of that piercing flowed blood and water. The Bible tells us in John 7:37, in that last day, that great day of the feast. Why is it emphasizing this? It's because this was the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days, the children of Israel would build huts. They would build it out of natural resources because they were to replicate their years in the wilderness. They would have to rough it out. They wouldn't have the conveniences of a home, the conveniences that they normally would have, but for 7 days, they would rough it in these huts. They would not have the conveniences of food as normal or drink as normal. But there was a ceremony, a morning procession that would occur on the 8th day to celebrate God's provision of rain and nourishment, to celebrate a successful harvest. There would be a Levite that would take a golden vial, vase. He would take a golden pitcher. He would go down to the pool of Siloam. He would fill that golden pitcher. Again, this is a feast, a celebration. He would take that golden pitcher up to the tabernacle, the temple. He would walk into the holy place. He'd come to the brazen altar, and there he would pour out the water from the pitcher upon the altar and the sacrifice. That water being poured out upon the sacrifice would serve as a symbol, a prophecy that that sacrifice had reserved their blessing, their nourishment, that that sacrifice provided the rain. It provided the blessing, the help that they needed. It was symbolic. Oh, and can I preach to you today? So was the piercing of Jesus Christ upon that altar, upon that cross, and upon that sacrifice. There had to be blood, and there had to be water. And it was in the middle of that ceremony, it was in the middle of that procession where he is pouring out the water upon the sacrifice, that Jesus stood up and began to declare, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of, oh, come on now. The water in the side of Christ represented blessing and healing and spiritual reformation. The water represented the abundance of Christ. The water was the sacrifice being drenched in the pool, the water from the pool of Siloam. It was a symbol. The Lord, He will pour out the water upon us. So somebody clap their hands. Throw up verse 39, brother. What is the symbolism here? If it is the rivers flowing of living water out of the belly, then what does the water truly mean? Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. It is the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? The Spirit of the Lord that is poured out upon the church. The Spirit of the Lord. Look, I don't always prescribe to what the Catholics believe, but one thing I do think they got right is I do think they got right that the water symbolized the beginning and start of the church. Hallelujah, but maybe it's different than how they consider it. I believe it symbolizes the outpouring of the Spirit of God. It symbolized the outpouring of the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2. And when they were all in one accord and in one place, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. The water flowing from the side of Christ represents not just the redemption in the blood, but the sanctification in the water. All throughout Scripture, water is used as symbol of the Spirit of God. Oh, I'm so thankful, not just for the blood, but for the water. I'm so thankful for the Spirit of the Lord. I'm so thankful for the Spirit that brings blessing, the Spirit that brings change, the Spirit that brings transformation, the Spirit that brings sanctification, the Spirit that brings recognition of the presence and the Spirit of God. Anybody else thankful for the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Lord in your life? For he says, the river of living water, that river, it references running water is the point. Where is the source of that running water? Oh, I tell you, of course we know it is the presence and Spirit of God. For I cannot do anything without the Spirit of God. Oh, praise the Lord, but I'm so thankful that when He fills me with His Spirit, I'm not just filled, but I become a conduit of the Spirit of God. Oh, come on now, hallelujah. I become a fountain of the Spirit of God, and He allows the Spirit to flow in me and then to flow out of me like a river of living water. Oh, that's what the cross represents and the piercing. It's running out of Him. Just in this same example, I don't believe that there is this swelling of water that some have tried to say. I believe that the water flowing out of Jesus Christ, it was one of those miracle moments. It was one of those heaven meets earth moments. It was a moment where the spiritual impacted the physical. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights, haven't we? is the moment where the spiritual changes and affects the physical. Oh, I'm here to tell you the Lord still does it. And the Lord is still doing it here today. For where did the water come from? I'm here to tell you the physical water that came out of Christ's side. It came from a spiritual fountain. Oh, it came from a spiritual fountain. The same way that your healing is going to come from a spiritual fountain. The same way that your blessing is going to come from a spiritual fountain. It's just going to appear. Why? Because the Lord is pouring out His Spirit like a river of life. Oh, hakaranda la basuna. Jesus. And one day it will be asked of you, where did that goodness come from? Where did that healing come from? Where did that change come from? And you can say it came from Him. It came from Him. Hallelujah. If water's flowing out of me, it's nothing I've done. It's because the Lord has filled me with His Spirit. And out of me and my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Isaiah 44 and 3 says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses." This isn't talking about literal physical water, but oh, when the Spirit comes in, it makes a change. When the Spirit comes in, it changes the physical and the literal. That's why when Jesus came to the blind man, Brother William, the Bible says he knelt down, took some dirt, and he spit on it. He mixed it in and created mud. And he placed it on his face. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to you. But he took that mud and he put it on his eyes. It doesn't make much sense, right? Why would he do that? Why would he take mud and put it on his eyes? Is there some power to his spittle? Look, I don't know. I don't have all the intricate details and reasons why Jesus would do this, but here's what I do know. He then told him, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." That's the same pool that they got the water from. Listen, the Bible, you can read the Bible frontwards and backwards, but let me tell you, the Bible is revolving. And what means something in the Old Testament means something in the New Testament. It all revolves. And when you really grasp the Word of God, you realize that it all connects and makes sense. And it all comes back to the Spirit of the Lord is able to produce water, healing, blessing, nourishment, whatever you need today. The Spirit of the Lord is in this house, and He's able to take care of it, and He's able to perform. Oh, Hakarabosi. Listen, is your faith there yet? Because I'm here to preach to you. The Spirit of the Lord is here, and the river is flowing in this house. I am only here to position you where your faith is ready to receive from the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, somebody here today. You may have come to this well, not really realizing from that which you draw from. But Jesus said, if you would have known me and who I am, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living waters. If you only knew who was sitting here next to you right now. If you only knew whose side it was that water gushed out of. Then you would say, Jesus, I know you can heal every disease. I know you can heal every sickness. You can provide for the most radical of needs. You can touch my children, my son or my daughter. Come on, did you come to see a reed shaken in the wind? No, you've come to see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of healing and blessing and salvation today. But sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. How about we stand to our feet? How then could you provide the living water? I love this, Brother Wilfred. She says, art thou greater than our fathers who built this well? Pastor Meehan, you mean you know better than the doctors? I'll tell you, I don't know better than the doctors, and I thank God for it. I don't need to know every detail of your healing. I just need to know that the blood and the water still flows from the side of Christ. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it. Listen, that knowledge sometimes gets in the way. We start thinking of all the hurdles he's got to jump through. Don't worry about it. His side was pierced. If water can come from his side, then water's here in this place, and it can be poured out upon you. For Jesus says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, he shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That word well means fountain or spring. It's the same symbolism. The water is flowing. The water is flowing. Just as the Spirit of God is flowing, Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. In those days will I pour out of my Spirit. If you need the Spirit of the Lord with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the Lord is here to fill you. If you need a healing, the Lord is here to heal you. If you need a blessing, the Lord is here to bless you. Come on now, it's flowing from the side. It's flowing from the side. Oh, Jesus God. Hallelujah. One more passage of Scripture. Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. in the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. For there is a river that is flowing. I'm thankful for the blood. If you're in this place and you need to find an altar of repentance, that can be this altar right here. I'm thankful for the blood. Oh, but God, I'm thankful for the river of life that still flows. The water that still flows in this house. So I ask to you, do you have a need? Do you need prayer? Do you have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ can touch you? Then I ask you, I plead with you, please come down to this altar.